This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. We're happy to have you here. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Christy Landwehr from Aurora, Colorado. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 17th, 2015, episode 1301. This episode is brought to you by the Certified Horsemanship Association. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning. This is your wake-up call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
The first ever 12-hour live Horse Radio Network Radiothon by Weathervita and HorseLovers.com is coming fast on Cyber Monday, November 30th, 2015, starting at 9 a.m., running through 9 p.m. Eastern. A full day of holiday fun, unbelievable guests, prizes, and you. Click on the banner at horseradionetwork.com and learn how you can be part of it. And Christy is going to be part of the Radiothon, and we're so happy that you're going to be taking it over an hour for the Certified Horsemanship Association.
I am very excited about that. I think it's a great idea, and I can't wait.
Well, we're going to have to start telling your members about something, and that is, as of last night, we just went over $3,000 in prizes that we're going to be giving away that day.
Oh, I will make sure to tell them. We have a big e-blast going out this week, so it'll be in there.
And the way they qualify to do that is they either have to send us a voicemail ahead of time, just Merry Christmas, maybe sing a song, do a dance. Well, we can't really see that on the voicemail, but they can sing a song, they can write a poem. We've been getting some very clever ones in. Or just send us a message that wishes their barn a Merry Christmas, or, you know, wishes us a Merry Christmas, wishes you a Merry Christmas, whatever. It can be as simple or as complicated as they'd like to make it. That helps qualify them. Or they have to call in live that day. And you guys are on the 11 to 12 a.m. Eastern hour. So that's the one of two ways they can qualify to win the prizes. The grand prize we're giving away consists of a whole pile of stuff at the end of the day. Well, we give stuff away every hour. But then the grand prize at the end of the day, one person who either sent in a voicemail or called in will win over $1,000 worth of stuff. So it's going to be a good Christmas for somebody out there.
Ooh, that'd be fun. And their horse, because I bet it's horse stuff.
It is. It's a little bit of everything. We are giving away so much stuff that day, and companies keep donating, so we keep adding to the pile. We'll have a lot more about that coming up on Facebook and elsewhere over the next week or two before the Radiothon. So you're definitely going to want to send us a voicemail or give us a call live that day. And you can find it all. Just go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the Radiothon banner in the middle of the page. And there's a whole website that tells you all about it. And it should be fun. Now, you have every hour, we're going to have some special guests coming on to tell us about their favorite holiday memories. That's the theme of the whole day. And I will tell your listeners that the day is going to start off, because we already recorded it, he wasn't available live, but the day is going to start off with an interview that Jamie and I did with Charlie Daniels. Of the Charlie Daniels Band, and Devil Go Down to Georgia and all that. He came on to talk about his ranch and his horses and Christmas, and it was so much fun, and that's how the day's going to start off. But you have some cool guests lined up, too.
Yes, but I love swinging to the Charlie Daniels Band.
I know.
My husband and I love that Devil Down in Georgia song when we go dancing. So fun.
Well, we saw him live at the Grand Ole Opry. When we were in, there was
wonderful.
Yeah, things just came together. So tell us about your guests.
Absolutely. We're going to have Julie Goodnight on, which we are thrilled about.
Yay, Julie.
Julie's been with CHA for such a long time. You know, she started as staff with us years ago, and now, of course, she's our international spokesperson and on RFD TV and just great guns.
And I don't think we've ever talked to Julie about Christmas and what she does at the holidays.
Oh, and she'll definitely have a white one if it's anything like today.
Yeah, you're
here
getting
in Colorado.
A little snow out there.
Oh, my goodness. We have it coming in sideways. We have probably 8 inches on the ground. And I'll tell you, they never cancel school. And I get a phone call at 5 a.m. I turn, I look at my husband, and I go, canceling school. And sure enough, they canceled school today.
Wow. That's Jennifer's sound effects machine.
I love that. I want that so that when the boys irritate me, I can press buttons based on different things that are going on in the house.
There you go.
Oh, that would be good.
So who's the other one?
You might have to rent it out.
Who's your other big guest?
Carla Wenberg. And Carla Wenberg, she's been on the show before, and she runs St. Andrews University. And she's an American Quarter Horse Association carded judge and an Intercollegiate Horse Show Association coach and a wonderful master instructor for us and just a great all-around person.
You know what you need to do? You need to get her to get her students to do a clever voicemail.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because then they would qualify to win the prizes.
And I know students like to do that.
Yes.
So that would be great. And I met some of her students. They're pretty fun. So, okay,
good idea. Drop her a note and encourage her to get that done because they could be winners, you know?
Good idea. It would be really fun if I could go behind Carla's back, unless she's listening now, of course, and
nobody listens.
You're okay. Something. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that would be fun, too. Yeah, if they did something behind her back. That'd be really fun. Carla, you didn't just hear that.
That's right.
No, nobody heard that. But Jennifer's going to tell us what's coming up on today's show because, you know, for once, you're having a show that I'm going to understand everything that's on it. I'm so excited.
Coming up on today's Training with the CHA episode, it's all about getting the word out. Jordan Manfredi deciphers some crazy marketing acronyms. And then Susie Carragher is going to give us the latest on what social media can and cannot do for us when it comes to marketing our horse businesses. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Social media. See, that's something I understand. I get that. We're social media. Right now, you and I are social media. So I get it. Yeah. So now I think it's going to be fun chatting about that today. Well, you just got back from your CHA. We talked about this quite a bit leading up to it, the Certified Horsemanship Association Conference in Texas. How'd it go? I haven't talked to you.
You know, it went really well. We had a little bit of rain, so we had a little bit of moving around. The outdoor arena couldn't be used, so we used another indoor arena at the West Texas A&M University campus. But
it was good. Oh, you got hit in that big Texas rains, didn't you?
Yes, we were a part of that. Yeah. We were. But I'll tell you, Texas is so big that Dallas and Houston can be flooded and Amarillo is sunny. So it's pretty interesting how that works. You know, Texas is just so big. So we actually had okay weather by the time we got there. The rains had already gone through, but then a couple of our speakers got stuck in Dallas and in Houston trying to get there. But overall, everybody had a really good time. And boy, is that canyon beautiful. And the food was great. And we just really enjoyed the hospitality. If anybody wants to do a convention in Amarillo, I'll tell you, their Convention and Visitors Bureau does it right.
Wow,
very good people.
I bet you had some good barbecue.
Really good barbecue.
Yeah,
and prime rib. The Coors Cowboy Club did prime rib for us. It was pretty amazing.
Oh, wow. And you had some, I know you've been traveling a lot lately, but I want to find out more. We'll talk about that, but I want to find out more about the CHA. You guys always give away awards, right?
We do. We have annual awards that we do every year. And this year we had some great winners. We were very excited. We had Ann Brzezicki, who's from MTSU, Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, where we're actually going to host our conference next year in October. But she was our instructor of the year, and her students did it behind her back. And they made it happen, and she had no idea, and she was up against many, many other great instructors, but our awards committee chose her. And boy, she was very shocked. And then she went a little viral on Facebook. She kind of freaked out. We put it on Facebook and she had 12,000 views and shares and likes and what have you. And she's like, I don't even know how this works. I'm having people back from when I was 17 and teaching at a 4-H camp contacting me. It was great. So good old social media. So we enjoyed having her win that. And then Pat Leach was our clinic staff of the year, the people that put on our clinics every year and certify our instructors. And she's a wonderful lady from Texas. And she has never had anything less than an outstanding on her evaluations from clinic participants. That's pretty amazing. You know, when you're in under a high stress situation and you're getting certified, and of course the clinic staff has to say, "Ah, you're all right," or "Ah, you're not very good," or "Ah, that's really good," or whatever the case may be, to get an outstanding across the board. Yeah, she's a great lady. And then our school horse of the year was a purebred Arabian gelding named Sirdar. And that's kind of exciting because I get to leave tomorrow to go to Tulsa, unless I'm snowed in at the Denver International Airport, then I won't be going to Tulsa. But if I'm not snowed in, I get to go to Tulsa for their convention and be a keynoter for them. So this is exciting that Sirdar won. We are thrilled about that. And then Blue Star Camps, they're in North Carolina. They won our Partner in Safety Award. And they have been a part of CHA almost 40 years, long time. They always certify all of their summer staff. They certify their year-round staff. They're site accredited. They just do quite a bit. And they're a wonderful camp with all kinds of different things besides horseback riding. And then Marcy Stemmel, this is an interesting story. She won our Distinguished Service Award, Glenn, and she is on the inside front cover of our composite manual of horsemanship that gets used by a lot of different groups besides just us, and is available for anyone to purchase. And I was doing a clinic actually in Colorado in April, and there was another Stimmel. It was Carolyn Stimmel. And I said, "Carolyn, are you at all related to Marcy Stimmel, who's in our book?" She goes, "Yeah, she's my mother-in-law." "Oh, well, where does she live now?" "Oh, she lives in California." Turns out she lived across the street from this other lady that I was doing the clinic with as clinic staff. So bizarre. So this totally small world. Marcy's in her 80s. She wanted to come to Amarillo, was so excited to win the award because she had written our very first composite manual of horsemanship years ago with our founding father, Dan Hempel. So here came Marcy in her 80s getting to present and talk to us about what CHA was 40 some odd years ago. It was super.
Hey, I just wanted to, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just wanted to say that it appears that our live feed is having some issues. And we're not sure why, because everything is showing normal on our end, but there are some people complaining that they're just getting buffering. Obviously, they're not hearing this, but I'm saying this for the benefit of the recorded show later. If you did try and listen, we apologize. Jennifer's putting in a support ticket to the company that provides our live feed now to find out what is going on there. If you are hearing the show live, drop a note on Facebook. That way I know at least some people are getting through or not. So sorry to interrupt you there, but you know, most people listen to the recorded version anyway, so we apologize for any trouble with the live feed here. So I think you're safe with your guest, Susie, not hearing it. You know, later, or you're, you know, not hearing the show.
Okay, so some are and some are not.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, would you like me to continue
on?
Oh,
yeah, because, as I said, 99.9% of people listen to the recorded version anyway. So we're just going to do a show.
Well, wonderful. Well, that was Marcy, our Distinguished Service Award winner. She was great. And then Terry Williams was our Volunteer of the Year, and she's in Ohio. And she has been so helpful on so many of our manuals, and she is in the process right now with her committee of leading the charge of rewriting our instructor's manual. And I'll tell you, rewriting a manual with a bunch of horse people and all of their different opinions is like herding cats, and she has gotten it done. And it's going to be a great manual, and we're going to go ahead and debut it for our 50th anniversary in 2017. So in just a year, you'll be able to see that. It'll be all printed and ready to go. So that was wonderful for her to do that for us.
Very good. And so what other kind of things happened at the convention?
Well, we had a big board meeting the day before it started. And in that board meeting, we actually elected some incumbents to continue on. And then we had two new board members that I'd love to introduce and chat about today. One is Jennifer Eaton. And Jennifer is with the Interscholastic Equestrian Association, so the middle school and high school group that does the catch riding horse show environment, much like you do in intercollegiate. And they are growing leaps and bounds, and it's great to have her on. And then Christine Henry is with the American Paint Horse Association. She does some of their youth coordination, some of their marketing, travels a bunch for them. And she actually, small world, is one of Ann Brzezicki's, our Instructors of the Year students, that kind of made that whole Instructor of the Year thing happen in an interesting way. So it's going to be super to have Christine on as well.
Very good. Congratulations to both of them, I think.
I think they're okay with it. Yes, I know. Sometimes a board ship is a sentence of life in prison.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
but no.
it's a lot of thankless work.
We have a good time on our board.
Okay, good. I'm glad yours is different. I've been on some boards that have been good and some boards that have been a pain. So I've been on both.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. But it's hard to tell before you start which one it's going to be. If you could tell which one is going to start, you know, you could just say no, you know?
Yeah, no, thank you. But unfortunately, you don't know. So you say sure, and then you're committed to however long the term is.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. Well, that's good. I'm glad you guys had a good show down there. Now, you've been doing a lot of running around. As you just got back from the ACHA Regional Conference. What's that?
Yes, this is American Camp Association.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and ACA,
did
they
you have to camp?
Credit. You know, it was not really like an tent. It was very lovely, actually. It was a Western conference center. It's called Sandborg Western Camps, and it's part of the Nature Place up in Florissant, Colorado, which for those that are familiar with Colorado, is just west of Colorado Springs, and it was beautiful. Right by Divide, so you actually go over the Continental Divide, so it's technically on the western slope, but just barely.
Oh, cool.
And it was beautiful, and we had a great day. It was 2 days there, and I was speaking for those in the camping world that are interested in horses, which, of course, is not everybody. There's many camps that don't have horse programming, but it was fun, and then we had a booth there, and we got to tour the barn and let them know things that might work if they wanted to host a clinic for us and get site accredited one day through us, as well as through ACA, because they already are site accredited through them.
Do you know how many camps, what percentage of camps actually do have a horse program?
You know, I don't know across the board, but I know through American Camp Association, it's 40%. And the reason why I know that is when we developed our partnership with them, ironically enough, 40% of our member programs are camps, and 40% of their member camps have horses. So it was kind of the same number. It worked out pretty well.
Very good. And you didn't have to sleep in a tent in the freezing cold.
No, okay. Which was quite lovely, because if I had to do that, that would have been for others. That would not have been for me.
We're such good campers. There's a reason that Jennifer and I are never going to do endurance. It's because it like requires you to be outside a lot.
Yeah,
including at night. So it's like, give me a hotel room, I'll be doing endurance.
I'm a little bit more of the Natrack fan of just the 30 miles.
Yes.
You can get it done maybe in one day.
Yeah.
One day would be way better.
In and out. Hotel, please. Well, very good. And you're and the Arabian Horse Association convention, is that still, that's in Tulsa this year. I know they've had that in Arizona in the past, Scottsdale. So is this one's pretty big. The Arabian Horse Association is pretty large, isn't it?
They are. You know, they are one of kind of the top three breeds in the country besides quarter horses and paints, you know, as far as vast number. And it's kind of fun for me. I feel full circle, Glenn, because back in the day when I graduated from college about 15 years ago now, to show my age a bit, my first job out of college was working for them as their youth coordinator. And now 15 years later, I get to keynote at their convention talking about engaging youth and getting youth involved and, you know, kind of stimulating our market and generational differences of teaching and learning and what have you. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Very good. I'm glad that you're going to be there. They're a good group. We've had them on the show several times before. And I know that we did an Arabian episode here on Horses in the Morning for a little while. It was very popular. I was always hoping that the Arabian people would end up doing their own show at some point. And that might happen. Who knows? If there's one group that could do their own show and make it work, it's certainly the Arabian group.
Well, they have such a diversity of things that they do. You know, I mean, what other horse do you get to ride where you get to put on a native costume, ride in slippers, and walk and run around?
Right. Exactly.
I love the native costume class. Love it.
Exactly. Well, we are, Jennifer is still working on trying to contact, I think, our provider for the live feed. And I think your guests coming up today are both going, they can't hear the show either. So we can say anything we want about them before they come on now.
Oh, see, that's kind of fun. And then they have to listen to the recording to know what we said.
And then it's too late. So it doesn't matter.
Evil laugh. Insert evil laugh. Yes. If Jen wasn't busy doing something else.
It doesn't matter at that point, right? So now let's switch gears a little bit and start talking about our topic of the day, which is marketing and social media. We, years and years and years ago, before Facebook, actually, when new media was just starting to come to play, when I started the Horse Radio Network, you know, we were very early on in new media 8 years ago, and we had some conferences, and we got together with 50 or 100 people at the Kentucky Horse Park that we organized and brought everybody in and talked about new media and where it was going. And it was so interesting because every year we'd get together, there was a whole new thing. And I remember the last time we did the conference, Facebook has just started. So, and I remember sitting there and saying, we were all discussing whether Facebook was going to make it or not, and whether we should put any time or effort into it. But that's, you know, how much things change in such a quick period of time in new media.
Oh, without a doubt. You have to be instantaneous in everything that you know about that type of thing. And it's fun. It's a really fun learning curve and growth curve, but sometimes can be challenging to have the time to keep up with it all.
Right. Well, tell us about you guys. Tell us about what the CHA does.
Yes, I was hired actually, Glenn, as their marketing director years ago because I had done some marketing for Arabs, and then I had done some marketing for the Urban Farm, which is an at-risk youth facility here in Denver. And of course, my background and my degrees are in marketing and journalism. So I had done quite a bit of marketing for them before I became their chief executive officer. And well, guess what? Nobody hired a marketing director after I became CEO. So I still get to be their marketing director. So I still do a lot of that, and I'm lucky enough to have some great individuals that I can reach out to and ask for help and guidance. Susie Carr, who is coming on the show later, is one of those, but lots of people that I get to do that with. But back when I did the marketing full-time, you know, we produced those YouTube videos. And so we were at an international conference and we're producing these videos, and a lot of people had asked, could you do one on rope halter and how to put the rope halter on correctly, tie that knot so it doesn't come undone, go ahead and make sure of where it fits on the horse's face, and so on and so forth. So we did. We created a 2 to 5 minute YouTube video like we do for all of them that are available to anybody. If you want them, just go on our website or on our YouTube page. You can have them. And we used a quarter horse, a registered American quarter horse. And much like we've just established our Education Alliance partner with Arabians, we had just established the one with AQHA at the time. And they were excited. So they went ahead and they put it on their social media. Well, they have a lot of likes and views on their social media. So it got quite a bit of play and it was fun. I was going on there every now and then, checking it out on Facebook. Oh, look, these people like it. Oh, look, all these positive comments. And then there was a day that it was towards the end of the day and I checked it. And there was a lady named Janine. And Janine, no likey my video, Glenn, not at all. She had the top 9 reasons why she despised my video.
She took the time to put 9 in?
9. And she numbered them. Number 1, number 2, number 3.
That's way too much thought for...
Oh, so I'm reading down through these 9. And of course, my initial response is to call up Jody at the AQHA and say, take it down. And then I'm like, no. Just step back. Just step back. So it's almost 5 o'clock, almost quitting time. So I quit. And I just went ahead and got off the computer, did my evening things that I do. And the next morning, of course, what's the first thing I checked? I checked that, of course. And right after I had logged off, Steve got on. And Steve goes, Janine, if you hated the video so much, why didn't you do a top 10? Why'd you stop at 9? And then right after Steve, there was another gentleman. And that other gentleman put, Janine, all things equine. And they just started, just make it at work. I'll tell you, if you let the Facebook community take care of itself, it will. I was absolutely shocked at how that was, they just took care of it to the point where I didn't have to do anything at all.
That's
which
right.
Was a good thing I didn't, because then it would have looked like I was, you know, trying to hide bad news. And, you know, everyone has an opinion. And sometimes keeping those opinions up there and then calling 20 of your closest friends to put things afterwards, which I didn't have to do in this case, but, you know, you might want to if you have a smaller stream of folks looking at your Facebook pages. Why not do it that way? Why always take stuff down unless there's truly some bad words in it or things that are slanderous, what have you? But if people are just sharing an opinion, I don't know, Glenn, let them.
I agree. You know, the first comment I ever got, the first review we ever got of the Stable Scoop show 8 years ago when we first started. I mean, we had been like 3 months in. And the first review we ever got said, the guy sounds like Kermit the Frog.
And sorry, that's funny.
I know, it was funny. And I thought, well, Kermit makes a lot of money. I wish if I do as well as Kermit, I'll be perfectly happy with the whole situation. I'll sound like Kermit if I'm taking in my cool $10 million a year.
That's right. You'd be thrilled being green. It would be easy to be green if you make a lot of money.
That's right. Now that he broke up with Miss Piggy, I don't have that to deal with either. So
that's right.
Perfect.
See, you're all set.
I know. It's perfect.
But he never ages.
Right. That's true. See, it's all good.
Yes.
It's all good. Yep. That was my first comment ever.
That's so funny. That's one that you almost want to frame, you know?
And you know what? YouTube is the worst. You know, they're trying to clean it up, and they've been trying to clean it up for years, the trolls and the haters on YouTube, who just seem to sit around and watch videos so they can hate on them. You know, and, you know, we had that in the horse world, too. I mean, I think it's getting better. I think anonymity, taking away anonymity helps so that you don't get as many as of the negative comments. We don't get a whole lot. Do you anymore? I mean, we don't get a whole lot anymore.
You know, we really don't. I mean, it's more things like what Janine did. It's more of an opinion, more than just pure hatred, right? It's more just, well, this is my opinion on that, and I just think you're wrong, which is okay. You know, that'd be by all means, right? What do we say that you don't want to talk about religion and politics at the dinner table? Well, if you have a bunch of horse people around, you also want to include bits and bidding. Don't want to talk about that either. So, right? I mean, we all have an opinion, don't we? Right?
That's
especially
funny, yeah.
When it comes to things that we're passionate about, like our horses and our sport of riding. So, it's all right. A little bit of, you know, I like it this way, not that way is okay.
What other horse topics that we have around are so enraging? I know bidding is definitely one of them.
And hoof care too. The whole should we use shoes or should we go barefoot and then the barefoot people hate the people with shoes and it just goes back and forth.
That's pretty polarizing too. Definitely.
I think training in general, you're in an area where people are polarized a lot of times. They have the person that they followed. They're a Monty Roberts fan or they're a Clinton Anderson fan or they're a Pirelli person and that's it. And if you're not, you're out, you know? So I think that happens a little bit in the horse world too.
Well, Glenn and Jen, that's why we certify instructors and not trainers. Because we truly believe that there's a finite way to teach first canter. There's not necessarily a finite way to teach a horse to do anything. So we really leave kind of the training certification up to those brand names that you mentioned, or maybe one day a breed association will delve into there. But no, we truly do certify the instructor that teaches the person, even though many of us, of course, have
to. And it doesn't matter what background they came from.
It's a little bit different.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Interesting. So what, now that we're talking about this, and we'll talk more about it with Jordan, but real quick, what do you find is the most effective for the CHA now in the social media realm?
You know what's been really interesting, and I know we are going to talk about it a little bit more, but we actually do boost our Facebook pages. We boost mainly our events, things when we're trying to sell something, or maybe we have a sale on a manual or a DVD or something like that. And we boost them and we can be so specific. We can say, we want this age group. We want males. We want females. We want whatever we want. We can say they have, you know, English riding on their profile. They have a picture of a horse on their profile. I mean, it's so detailed that those have worked for us. We've enjoyed doing that. And, you know, putting out a new YouTube video does actually help. That's why we produce them every year. We get a lot of interesting results on our website after we do that, as far as a lot more views and hits. We get a lot more people signing up for our monthly e-blast when we do that. So there's a lot of things on the internet that do definitely help. But some of the traditional works well too. When we were in Amarillo, I went down to the local radio show and I did a 6:20 in the morning show. That was a little early, 6:20 in the morning show, but it was great. And it was on their country station. And we had some people show up to watch Julie and others that day because of that radio show. And we actually advertised in the classified section every Sunday for 4 weeks before, because I think a lot of our folks still look at classified ads. They want to see horses for sale. They want to see events going on.
You mean like in the newspaper?
Yes, in the actual Amarillo newspaper.
They still
yes,
have classifieds?
Did. Yes, they sure do. Isn't that crazy?
Who knew?
And, you know, I
you know,
think
the last time I looked at a newspaper, a physical newspaper, it must be years.
Yes, but you still have a lot of people, especially, you know, baby boomer, maybe even a little bit older, that love the paper. And a lot of people still really enjoy that. So it's pretty interesting.
Jeez, I remember the days when we were in our business, had 25 horses and were buying and selling and training and boarding and everything. That's the only place we could advertise was in the classified section. And you paid by the word, remember?
Yes,
you probably still do.
Yeah, 10 yeah. cents, 15 cents a word. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, I think some of the new stuff obviously is the way it's going, and it's good to be able to show video online and to be able to see things a little bit easier. But I also think some of your traditional stuff still works. You still got some people out there that are like, nope, I like it printed.
And of course, you know, one of the things we talked about before the show even started is the serious posts don't do so well on Facebook or Twitter. It's the silly stuff that does very well. It's
yes, it
just
does.
Silly, stupid that does very well. And it's been true for the 5 years we've been using Facebook, you know, and even more so now, I think. The ones you put all the work into and the really serious posts don't go anywhere. The ones that are just stupid, silly memes do very well.
I think people like to have light sometimes. And so they get on there and then they go, I want to share this with all my friends. It's so much fun. It'll make them smile today.
Right. Exactly. Well, let's get to our first guest. I think she's ready for us.
I would love to. So this is Jordan Manfredi, and she has her MBA from Purdue University, which is actually how I met her, is while she was working on that. She now, though, is not only, of course, a graduate of their MBA program, but now she runs Big Red Advisory Group, which is an equine consulting group. Some of her clients include Horse Tack Company. Their clients are also an e-commerce retailer, 2K Gray as well. That 2K Gray is a performance riding breeches that look and feel better than your favorite jeans. See already in her bio, she has great marketing. She also has many others that you can see on her website, which of course she'll give us more information on that while she talks. She's also an avid hunter jumper rider of 26 years, and she has spoken at numerous trade shows and conferences. And I'll tell you, one of the things we're so excited to have Jordan on today is she was one of those people that was stuck at an airport in Texas and couldn't get to us. So our members wanted her talk so badly. We said, well, great, let's be on the radio show and we'll share with everybody, not just our members. So good morning, Jordan. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Good morning. How are you guys?
I am a little snowed in. But other than that, I'm good.
Oh, no. Oh, goodness, it begins, huh?
Yes, this is why I like working from home.
Yes, definitely. The internet is an amazing thing.
It does help. And with Jordan, we're so excited to have you on today. And I just want to start by just saying, I'm really sorry you weren't in Amarillo, but I understand.
Oh my goodness, it was such an adventure. I spent the evening with a bunch of other people stuck in the airport. We all ended up at a wine bar, and we started taking bets on whether or not we were going to get out of Dallas.
Oh.
It actually ended up being one of those times that you will always remember, because you and, you know, maybe 100 other people are all just sitting there hanging out and wondering what's next. But I'm so happy to be here today and to be on the show. Glenn, you know, I've wanted to be on the show with you and Christy. It's great to be here. So I just have one slight correction. I actually got my MBA from Purdue. I got it from Long Island University. I actually taught at Purdue for 2 years.
Oh, then I am
yeah.
confused. I am so sorry. Okay. Well,
no,
thank you very much for the correction.
No, it's, you know, it's not a problem at all. I just love talking about Purdue's. They had a great equine business management program that I had the wonderful opportunity to teach at and to hang out in Indiana for 2 years, which is great horse country.
Absolutely.
Picky,
it's really good.
Picky.
That's like a totally different state. No, that's probably not too picky. Oops.
I know. I just want to. I want to make sure, that we're all...
Well, you got to represent. You got your MBA, for God's sake. You got to represent the right school.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Long
you worked hard for that. And can I just throw in here, she represents 2K Gray, which are performance writing breeches, and I saw her in some 2K Gray, and she looks really good in them. So I just had to throw that in.
They're great. They have... definitely taken over my yoga pants, which my husband is very happy about. He's like, wait, those aren't yoga pants. I'm like, nope, that's right, but they feel like them.
That's funny.
I'm going to have to check them out now.
Yes,
get the husband on board over at my house as well. That would be good.
And can I just interrupt here for a second? We're getting a report from Jennifer that the live player appears to be working now. So we want to apologize to anybody that's just joining us live. There was a problem with Mixler, I think, and she wrote a support ticket, and it appears to be going now. So we hope you can hear us live. If you're tuning in later, we're just keeping going with the show anyway because most people listen to the recorded version. Sorry, Jordan, I just had to let everybody know.
Well, and the timing is perfect because we're right about to launch in and start asking Jordan the questions about our topic today, which is marketing your equine program. So, Jordan, go ahead and just let us know, what do you feel one has to do to begin a thorough marketing plan? What are some of the first steps?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. And, I've written really big marketing plans, 60-page marketing plans, and I'm also... written one-page marketing plan, and I have a plan that I've created that is only 5 steps, and I think that these 5 steps are a great beginning. Steps are figuring out who am I, so it's figuring out your strengths and your weaknesses, that's internally, and then you want to figure out who are they, and that's referring to who is your target market. The third step is you want to figure out what do I want. What are my goals? The fourth step would be, how do I get it? And that relates to what tactics or specific forms of marketing will I use to reach my specific goals? And then the fifth and final step, I would say, how to put in, how did I do? And this refers to, did I reach my goals? And you always want to put in metrics into your tactics. Whether or not you've met your specific goals. Because what I think is most important about marketing is that it does take time. And anyone says that they can, offer you quick results, it's not true, unfortunately. I wish it was. It'd make my job a lot easier. But it's really all about learning about yourself, your target market, creating a plan, testing that plan, improving based on your experiences, and then repeating. So it's really a process. But starting with a plan is a great first step along that process.
And I love that. I love that you kept it down to 5 things. I think lists are so important. And I actually wrote them down. And while you were talking, it just took 2 seconds to write those down, and to start really think about that. So,
yeah, but
I
think, stuck at number one. So...
Oh, no. I have a worksheet that outlines all of this. I'd be happy to send it
over. Okay, thanks, Jordan. I need all the help I can get.
Of course.
It's like with CHA, we came up with a why statement. And I'll tell you, that was very different from our mission and our purpose. And boy, did it redefine who am I question, because it kept it even more simple. I think sometimes in marketing, Jordan, and correct me if you think I'm wrong in this, but people try to be everything to everybody. And it's better to be one little thing to a few people than to try to be everything to everybody. Don't you think you're more successful when you go down that road?
I do. I think it actually creates a focus for you. And staying focused in marketing is not an easy thing to do because, you do want to have a large audience because it feels like you're reaching more people, but marketing and really creating wow experiences with your core audience, because they'll actually turn into a sales force for you and they'll tell other people. So they almost do the job for you. So if you really focus on your core audience and how you can provide them with these amazing experiences, they'll do the marketing for you, because word of mouth marketing especially in the horse industry, is the most powerful form of, because they believe they're friends and they usually hang out with like-minded people, like other horse people.
I'm getting asked a lot of questions now that the Horse Radio Network is getting more visible in the general podcasting world and our success is getting out there in the general podcasting world. And I get all these podcasters that come up to me and they want to know why their podcast isn't making it. And it's so general. It's just, you know, I'm doing a podcast about life coaching. You know, what I tell everybody is you've got to get nichier. You have to get into the niches. The money is going to be made in the niches going forward, where you're catering to a very specific audience that you may only have 500 followers, but they're 500 followers that are your core group. The niches are where it's going to be. So don't be afraid to drill down and even make your company nichier. Own that space. Own that space in that niche, and you're going to be better off in the long run than trying to be the guy that's out there for everybody. And you're just a tiny pebble in an ocean. So be the large rock in a small pond. You know, not the tiny pebble in the ocean. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but.
No, I love that. I love that. I agree. I think it's really about quality over quantity. And the quantity will come when there is quality. But, you know, in the beginning, having a focus and really, you know, creating something unique and different and hard for your competitors to duplicate is essential, because you have to have those competitive advantages in order to compete. And if you're the same, you know, it doesn't work. So, you know, growing is a great thing to do. But when you first start out, you definitely want to be a big rock in a small pond. 100%.
And, you know, much like in the horse world, the marketing world has a lot of acronyms, too. So I'm going to ask you what some of them mean. So what is this term that we hear a lot about called ROI?
Oh, yes, that's a good one. I throw that around all the time. It stands for return on investment, and it's a measure of the profit earned from each investment. So for math people out there, in terms of a math equation, it's your return minus your investment divided by your investment, and usually multiplied by 100 to get a percentage. And, you know, it helps you understand if you made profits based on what you spent. But the tricky part in marketing is that, you know, return can be different for people. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's cash in your pocket at that exact time, because marketing is putting people in the pipeline to generate revenue or cash in your pocket down the road. You know, an example that I have is I took one of my clients, Horse Tack Company, to an event, and you know, we spent about $500 on the booth. We were vending at the event. Then you also have to add in the time that you spend at the event, because there's an opportunity cost there. You could be doing something else, like teaching a lesson. So whatever that cost is, you have to put that into your equation, as well as any travel, hotel expenses, any marketing material that you printed, created. So those are all of your expenses. And then after the event is over, you look at, you know, for in our specific example, you know, what we sold, and then, you know, any marketing benefits that were gained from that event. Did we receive contacts? How many? Did we receive, you know, some really great, you know, talking points and, you know, product information from clients that we spoke to? Did we receive extra likes on our Facebook page or Instagram page? So you put all of that into the equation, and then you figure out, okay, well, was this worth our time and money? And would we do it again? And that's where you learn, okay, well, this was a great event. We'll definitely be doing it again next year. Or, okay, this wasn't a great event. Why wasn't it a great event? And you learn from each time you do something in marketing. But you always want to make sure that you have an understanding of the costs that are associated with each marketing tactic, and then the benefits that came from each marketing tactic.
Jordan, I so appreciate that you mentioned the opportunity cost, because so many of us don't include our time and staff time when we're allocating things and seeing whether or not something was worthwhile that we did. And we have to put a price tag on our head when we market. We have to say, this is how much I'm worth an hour because of past experiences of where I could make this much an hour. So I loved when you said like giving a lesson, because for those of us that do teach, we know how much we charge an hour. So with that, exactly. We can say, all right, when I went to this event, instead of being at home at my barn and, you know, teaching my lessons, was it worthwhile? Did I get enough for sale horses? And if I sell horses, did I get a great couple of school horses maybe donated to me, or whatever you're going to look at as being worthwhile? And so I'm really glad that you mentioned time.
Clinicians have to look at that all the time, because they're, you know, if they're also teaching clinicians, and when they go out in the road in their clinic, they're not charging enough, they could actually make more staying home. That is something that I think they overlook sometimes. And yes, they do get some residual benefits about being out in front of a larger group than they would have at home. But you've still got to take a look at the bottom line and the dollars involved there. And it really always does come back to that in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really all about measuring and learning from each experience. So it's very much a process.
However, I will say this, and it's one of the things that I think Jordan will agree with. We have companies coming to us all the time that want to do 2 weeks worth of advertising, right? And I always turn them down, because the other thing about advertising and about marketing, whether it's new media or traditional, is, Christy, I think you said this earlier, is it does take time. You know, I've been asked sometimes, you know, we hear the same companies advertising with you for the last 8 years. Well, that's a good thing. it means it's working and that they're sticking with it, but they also realize that this is a long game, that the more you're in front of people, the more it's going to play. You can't, you know, there are times occasionally when a one-off thing will work, but more often than not, you've got to be in it and they're consistently in front of them in one way or another.
I had a marketing professor years ago, as we're graduating from college, say, and for those of you that like to jump around at jobs, you're never going to see success, because it normally takes a decade, 10 years, for your marketing ideas when you're employed at a company to actually come to fruition in a big way. That's a long time.
Isn't that wild? It is. It's wild. It really, you know, and that's why the focus is really important. And, you know, you can tweak things, of course, but it does take time. I wish it was easier, but it's not. I would say a minimum of 6 months, but yeah, 10 years. I mean, for true branding to come around and for people to know your name, it takes time.
So another acronym that I'd love you to explain to our listeners today, Jordan, is the SWOT analysis.
Yes.
Nothing to do with flies.
You know, Glenn, I was going to say that joke and my husband said, do not do that.
Leave it to me. That's what I'm here for. Bad jokes.
Thank you. No, they're great. I loved it. So, a SWOT analysis, it's another acronym. We're chock full of them, which is helpful, because I don't know about you, but I have a hard time remembering things. So anytime someone can make it easier, I'm definitely happy. So SWOT analysis, it stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And what it is, it is an analysis. It's a study that a business undertakes in order to identify their internal strengths and weaknesses, as well as their external opportunities and threats. And I'd love to go through them, if that's okay, if we have enough time, just to kind of briefly go through what each one stands for and how you can find them. Is that okay?
I think that'd be fine.
Okay, perfect. So strengths, you know, obviously they're what you do really well. But I usually take it one step further. I ask my clients to not just think about what they do well, but what creates their clients or their customers to say, wow. You know, so let's take a riding facility, for example. You know, it's not just that you give quality instruction, because that's expected. But perhaps you offer unique riding programs, or you have absolutely incredible school horses for all levels, or perhaps you offer experiential activities outside of the barn. What are things that you do that make your clients say, wow, that is different than what your competitors do and hard for them to duplicate? So those strengths are the things that you want to promote. Those are your core advantages and should be all over your marketing material. Weaknesses, and that refers to what you don't do so well. And that's just as important as figuring out what you do well. I know, you know, horse people wear a million different hats, and it's impossible to be really good at everything. Here's a good one. My husband, you know, tells me I'm terrible at cooking, so I embrace it. So, you know, there's just some things that I'm not so great at. That's fine. And what I recommend doing is either learning to become better at them or outsourcing it. And I usually say outsourcing it is the best thing to do, because it's a good thing not to be the smartest person in the room. And, you know, time is money. So, for example, if social media isn't your thing, we've got Susie on next, and she would be a great asset for you. So you've got strengths and weaknesses, which are an internal look inside of your company and at you. And then you've got the O and the T, which is opportunities and threats. And these are external forces, things that you can't necessarily control. And it's important to maximize upon your opportunities and to defend against your threats. So opportunities, for example, say you want to vend at a local farmer's market because your target market will be there. There'll be no competition there. You don't have a horse show that weekend, and it's within your budget. It's a cheap boost. So you say, okay, I'd like to capitalize on that opportunity. So you go ahead and do it. And then you think about threats, and you know, these can be, there's all different types of threats that are out there. Societal, economic, you know, the 2008 recession, or environmental. So a good example might be, you know, you live in an area that gets brutally cold in the winter and you don't have an indoor, you know, that could be a threat to you and your students. You might lose them in the winter. So it might be time to think about, okay, who can I partner up with that has an indoor so you can defend against that threat? So what's really important is always to be on the lookout for opportunities and threats and see how you can work with them to the best of your ability.
All I heard there was Jordan outsourced the cooking and her husband has to do it all now. That's what I heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do outsource cooking. That's for sure. I just signed up for Blue Apron. I'm very excited.
I think that's very smart. I also outsource grocery shopping.
Oh, do you? Do you have a service?
No, it's called my husband.
Ah, there you go. See, that's what I heard in all of this was the husband's doing it all. That's what I heard.
That's why we love them, right, Jordan?
I love your husband. Exactly. It's so true. It's so true. They are the best.
It's a teamwork, team effort.
Oh,
so we
sure
have another
is.
One that I think will be helpful for people, Jordan, and it's the SMART, that acronym. Yeah. I think that would be very helpful for listeners as well.
Of course, of course. It's another lovely little acronym. And what it does is it helps you create your goals. And I love this acronym because it doesn't just apply to marketing. It can apply to life goals because it really helps you to define them in a very meaningful way. And what SMART stands for is S is for specific, M is for measurable, A is for attainable, R is for relevant, T is for time-based. So I have two examples. And I would like to ask you if you think they're smart or not. So the first, here's one. It goes, I want a handful of new students to train with me. Glenn, do you think that one's smart?
I think it's a desire. I'm not sure it's smart.
Perfect. You would get an A.
Yay!
In my class.
And I don't have an MBA. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, no, that's, you got
believe me, anytime I got an A, I was happy, so.
I know, right? I know, they weren't easy to come by. So here's the other example. I want 5 new beginner-level students to train with me within the next 6 months. And that is SMART. And the difference here is, with the second one I said, is it's specific and measurable. So you've got 5 beginner-level students. And then it's also attainable, relevant, and time-based. So in 6 months from the time that you begin implementing your marketing tactics, you'll stop and say, okay, well, do I have 5 new beginner-level students training with me? If so, awesome. Time to create new SMART goals. And if not, you go back and you reassess, okay, was my goal too big? Were my tactics not correct? What happened that I didn't reach my goal? And this really allows you to do things in a really specific and strategic way so that you can continue to learn, test, improve, and then repeat.
See, this is good because now we can remember these things, ROI, SWOT, and SMART, and then understand kind of what they stand for. See, I enjoy acronyms once they're explained. I think they're very useful too. So what are some traditional forms of marketing that you think would work for equine programming?
Sure, sure. I mean, there are so many out there. Sometimes it can be overwhelming because especially with, you know, online forms, there's so many different ways to go about marketing these days. But when it comes to marketing tactics, I always say that you want to make sure that whichever ones you choose, do a few different things. And I have four things that I think every marketing tactic should do. They should target your market. They should help you reach those SMART goals. They should be within your budget, and they should have a way to measure success. So, you know, almost every day I get emails about advertising in national magazines, and I ask myself, is it within my goals? Is it within my budget? And how will I be able to measure if it's successful? So those are just some things to think about. But in terms of forms of marketing that I think would be great for equine facilities, I have a few that I would recommend now, and I also have a bunch. I'm going to do a shameless plug that I'll talk about on my CHA webinar on December 9th at noon. And we'll talk more about them there. But some that I really love are engagement marketing, online marketing, and local event marketing. And engagement marketing we touched upon at the beginning of the interview, and it's really all about creating those wow experiences to turn your loyalists or the people that love you into basically a quasi-minion sales force. You know, for example, if you go to a horse show with your clients and they have a great day, make sure that you take photos of them having a wonderful experience. You know, it doesn't have to be them winning. It could just be them having a great time hanging out with their horses. And then post those photos on your Facebook page. And what they'll do, you know, if you can tag them, that's great. If they're of age and okay with being tagged, then they'll share that photo and that great experiences with all, you know, 900 of their friends that are most likely also local and maybe horse people. So it's really great to make sure that you utilize your current clients and provide them with great experiences. Yelp, in terms of online marketing, I love. There's 83 million unique visitors a month on Yelp, and those are people that are looking for a service. So most people, me included, I always go on Yelp before I do anything, and I check out the reviews, and I make my decision based on that. And Yelp offers so many free tools. I mean, all you have to do is claim your business on Yelp, and you're good to go. And then asking for people to review your business is always great. If you don't ask, you probably won't get a review. So it's always good to ask. And then event marketing, I love, because personal selling is such a great tool if you're a people person. So for example, if your clients are mainly, you know, elementary, middle school, maybe even high school students, you know, going to a local PTA meeting and talking to the parents about the benefits of riding could be a great way to get the purchasers of your services excited about horseback riding and horseback riding lessons. So anytime you can get in front of people to talk about your services and to answer their questions in real time, I think is always a great, great thing to do.
I think so too. I think those are all great ideas. And I just want to end with one last question, Jordan, and then we can go ahead and share how people can find you if they want to know more. You know, there's a lot of questions about whether or not a website is even being kind of used anymore. People skipping websites and going directly to social media. What is your thought on having a website?
Definitely. I think a website is important. I'm working on one for my business right now. You know, it's just as important as an active Facebook page, a Yelp page, and a Google page. I see it as a digital business card, and there are some really great online resources that are inexpensive to use to create.
Did we lose her?
But it's beautiful and it's simple and it's easy to use and it gives all of the relevant information, such as your name, your address, your services, a logo, perhaps a place to blog about new news and events, and some pictures. The one that I love that I'm using right now is called Squarespace, and it's really easy. It's simple, beautiful. It offers a free trial. It's $5 a month for a cover page, which is just the one page, which I think stable, that's really all they need. Or you could go $8 for a website that would include a blog, which is a great place to put articles, and then you can promote them on your Facebook page and actually drive people to your website to learn more. So I think it's a really great tool.
Can I throw in my two cents here? I think it's the most important thing is your website. And I'll tell you why, and driving people to your website is because Facebook could go away tomorrow. It's free. You don't own it. Whereas your website, you do. So the only thing that you're going to have that's going to be there all the time is your website. And actually, as more and more people are leaving Facebook and Twitter, just trying to decompress a bit, your website even becomes more important. So you don't overlook a good website. And I will say that in my experience with about 90% of the farms and professional riders and horse people out there, you need a new website. It's just not working. It doesn't have the information. It's not been updated. That is so important. And that leads us to Google SEO, search engine optimization, making sure you can be found easily and quickly on Google. That, you know, we don't talk about that as much as we used to 4 years ago, but boy, is it important. It has helped us hugely. Now, you know, if we have had a guest on, a professional rider or Jordan, let's say, because we've been around so long and our SEO is pretty good, in another 3 months, you search for Jordan's name, we're probably going to be on the front page right below her websites. Now, that takes a long time to get to that point, and it takes doing it right, but it is still one of the most important things you do because people still go to Google first. So I just had to throw my two cents in.
I agree.
So when they go look for farm or riding lessons in your local area, riding lessons in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, if you don't have a website, you're not going to probably pop up, and you're going to miss that sale because people still go to Google first.
Everyone Googles.
Okay, I'm done preaching now.
You said you were excited about this topic, Dan.
I know.
Good.
She always talks about training stuff, Jordan, and I'm just that, you know, I'm not a trainer. So, but this topic I actually know a little bit about, so I was excited today. But we have to say goodbye
sure
to Jordan, unfortunately.
I know, Jordan, we do. Our time is up, but you know what I would love? Please share with people how they can find you and find out more.
Oh, of course. I would love to. So the best way to get in touch with me is my email. And like I said at the beginning of the interview, I have a great worksheet that I would love to share with anyone interested. And I also offer a free hour consultation because I really do love working with businesses and helping them as much as possible. And this is my email. It's a little long, but it's Jordan@BigRedAdvisoryGroup. And that's BIGRED Advisory and Group, GROP.com. And it was actually named after Secretariat. So that's a good way to remember it. So it's Jordan@BigRedAdvisoryGroup.com. And I would love to help anyone out, as many people as possible. And I really thank you both for this opportunity. It was awesome.
Thank you, Jordan. And yes, I think your shameless plug was wonderful. December 9th, listen to her webinar.
December
and then if
9th.
This is after December 9th that you're listening to this, it's going to be recorded. So you can still listen to her webinar. So thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Jordan.
Thank you so much. And thank you. And I'll talk to you guys hopefully soon. And I hope the weather warms up for you, Christy.
Thank you.
She's so smart.
Yes.
She is. She's lovely. I met her for the first time at Ada, and we hit it off right away because I think it's. I think we're both. We were talking social media and marketing. So I think that's why. And she obviously knows what she's talking about. And I think it is important, you know, I wanted to make sure I brought up the website thing today because I think that gets so overlooked now. But yet it's still the most important piece.
Agree with you. That's why I worded the question in that way.
Yeah.
Is that we get a lot of that too. And it's like, no, you've got to have the website. So I'm so glad that, everyone.
And it is the area that probably is the biggest missed area for all horse people, whether they run a barn, a boarding business, a training stables. They always overlook the website. They update their Facebook page all the time, and they do all of that, but they don't do the thing that really is going to get them the most play on Google searches, and that's their website.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. And we'll talk more about that, I think, with our next guest.
Yes, we will. So would you like me to introduce her right now?
Yes, she is ready.
Super. Away I go. So Susie Carraher is a marketing communications professional, and she has had many different clients. She's actually worked for PR firms as well as for individual clients. And some of her clients you might know, like Budget Blinds, Taco Bell, I mean, big clients. And she is an avid horseback riding person herself. She loves dressage. She loves being able to go in local shows and do those types of things. And I met Susie at Cal State University Fullerton, where we both got our undergraduate degrees in public relations. And she and I were on this thing called the forensics team, which is not police work. It's the speech and debate team. And we were lucky enough to travel around the country together.
They called the speech and debate team the forensics team?
They sure do. Yes, they do. And it was fascinating because
could you guys get dates? just asking. I don't know.
That's for a whole nother radio show, Glenn. So with no further ado, hi, Susie. How are you?
Hi, Christy. it's just now getting light here where I'm at. So I think the O in 0700 stands for, oh my God, it's early. So anyway.
But you know what? I'm very jealous because, of course, I grew up in Southern California where you are. And Glenn and Jen, Susie is in Huntington Beach, okay? So she lives the life. Here I am with 8 inches of snow.
Yeah, we feel really bad for you, Susie. I'm saying.
Well, I'll tell you, Huntington Beach, I often say, so you've heard of our riots. We're a surf culture, so how did I end up riding horses? What folks don't realize is that about 40 years ago, there were horses being kept in backyards here in Huntington Beach. We were very much a agricultural and oil city because they wanted it to be Atlantic City West, and they were going to call it Pacific City. And then they found oil, and our entire little town was essentially built by Standard Oil. So you learned something about my hometown.
Southern California, half acre, you can have a horse. And in a lot of communities, that's still true out there.
Right. I mean, there were people posting on our Facebook page up until like 1984, there were people who had horses in their backyard.
It's a lot. And there's hidden horses everywhere in California. It's one of the biggest states. And they're not out in the country. They're smack dab in the middle of all the suburbs, which is super. So I love it. When I go back to California, I get to go visit Susie and all of her animals there in Huntington Beach because she does have quite a few of them.
And you might hear the lovely Basset Hound that rules the roost here if she decides to get excited or if our resident squirrel shows up. So I do apologize if Lou chimes in. Sometimes I get it wrong and she corrects me.
No problem. So, you know, we were talking to Jordan earlier and we were transitioning really nicely. She had just talked about, and Glenn and I also shared how important a website is. And we had just mentioned that, you know, there are possible website platforms where you can also get a blogging component. So let's just jump into the topic today, Susie. What is your opinion of blogging? How does that all work?
Okay, let me start back because I listened in on Jordan's piece because I wanted to tag in. And I'm going to throw another acronym at you guys, and that is PESO, P-E-S-O. It stands for Paid, Earned, Social, and Owned. And it was coined by a woman named Jenny Dietrich. And I cannot underscore Glenn's point enough that the importance of a standalone website for your business is mission critical. Because Facebook is notorious for changing the landscape on us in a second. for instance, I just went through this a couple of weeks ago. I was getting set to boost a post for a friend, and it would not let me boost the post. I said, what's going on here? Because I manage so many Facebook pages for so many entities, it sees me as an agency. So I had to, because we were on a time crunch, I said, oh my gosh, we have to undo everything. You have to go in as a solo person, and I'll do it, but, you know, get me off the site, you know. So I have to learn. We are constantly learning new things on Facebook in particular. Facebook is always throwing new things at us. They just added notes, which is kind of like a micro, their version of blogging. But just be aware that you cannot replace your owned website with a social media platform. It just doesn't work out that way. But as far as blogging is your opportunity to do two things. You're going to speak to two audiences. The first one is obviously the people. It gives you an opportunity to educate, to inform, to show off your brain, to demonstrate, to let people know your philosophy and maybe get to know your personality a little bit. But the other audience you're playing to, and it's an important audience, is the search engine. And if you can, kind of envision it as a web crawler. I'm going to personify a search engine. What you're doing when you blog is you're laying out fresh bait in the trash. All of the search engine companies send out their roamers, their little web crawlers, to find fresh bait. And what they're looking for is, has this website been updated in the last 28 days? And if it has, that's a positive mark for your website. And what that means is that positive mark means your website is likely going to get served in a search result. So when someone goes to their computer and is looking for horseback riding lessons in Huntington Beach, they see your site as being an active site, and that the fact that you are active is going to get you served faster. So that's important for why you need to blog. That's one of the reasons why you need to blog.
So really, blogging at least every 28 days is a good idea, but you could certainly do more if you wanted.
Yes, you can. I mean, there are some companies that have that blog constantly. They're out there, you know, like once or twice a day. And those are usually aggregators, or they have a group of folks writing for them. Even some of like the horse publications are out there frequently blogging, and that's just because that's what they do. We know that you can't do that. We know that your talent, for the most part, and your talent is in that riding arena or on the back of a horse, working with that horse. So you're not going to be sitting down to blog very often. But if you are blogging at least every 28 days, you're good to go.
Very good. So, moving on, because Jordan touched on social media, but you know, you're the one that we're really going to delve into it a little bit more too, going back, of course, to how you then link everything back to your website, which is your electronic business card, as Jordan mentioned. So what social media platform, Susie, do you think equine programs just really need to be on?
Okay. So we could do a lot more on blogging if we get the chance to, because we can talk about keywords in the whole nine yards. But let's talk about... I did some research last night. So what platforms do I think you guys need to be on? I'll let the numbers do the talking, Christy. Pew Research in January 2014 reported that 74% of American adult internet users use social media. Three quarters of American adults who are online are using social media in some platform, in some fashion or another. Of those adults, 71% use Facebook. That's 58% of the entire adult population of the United States. 23% use Twitter, 26% use Instagram, 28% use Pinterest, and 28% use LinkedIn. And I just, in Canada, because I don't want to forget our friends up north, Adweek reported this year in February that 59% of Canadian adult internet users use Facebook. And then 30% use LinkedIn, 25% use Twitter, and 16% use Instagram. So Facebook should definitely be in the mix. over half of the adults in the United States are on Facebook in some fashion. And depending upon your business and what your business does, you might want to consider adding in the other ones. And you also want to consider what demographic you're trying to reach. Because we know that we know that Instagram and we know that Snapchat are really popular with millennials. Whereas Facebook tends to trend a little older, but that also means they probably have more disposable income.
Absolutely. So probably depending on where you're at and who you're targeting, you know, sometimes we say target the grandparents. They're the ones actually that are providing the horseback riding experiences for their kids, their grandkids.
And actually, you're right. We're seeing that phenomenon here in Southern California. It's not necessarily the parent that is seeking the riding experience, but the disease skips a generation, if you will, and goes from grandma to grandchild. So it's grandma, funding the lessons.
I know, and I'm just going to get my mom when I'm out there for Thanksgiving on Facebook for the first time, and she's 71. She's like, I need to be on Facebook. You keep doing all the chatting with all the relatives in England, and I don't even know what's going on. Like, she just found out a cousin of ours is having a baby. She goes, why am I the last to know? I go, Mom, you're not on Facebook. So I think we're finally going to get her into the 2015 era a bit.
We are all as doomed as doomed can be because she knows way too many secrets.
I know, and you know she's going to friend you. You're in trouble. See what happens.
I am so busted.
So
I'm so busted. I am so busted.
So moving on into Facebook a little bit more, there's so many things on there. And I, like you said, I am also constantly learning. There's a profile if you have a business. There's a group page if you have a business. There's your own personal page if you have a business. There's boosting posts and Facebook ads and oh my goodness. So I would love to delve just a little bit more into the differences and the importance of these different areas.
Okay. So I'm skipping around here because I want to make sure I got it right, and I'm explaining it without being circular. So your key to play on Facebook is your profile. And I'm getting text as I'm talking to you from you. I'll send you those data. okay, so your Facebook profile is all about you. It is your key to use Facebook. And it's important to know that when you're filling out your Facebook profile, you're asked a lot of questions like, what do you like? What are your interests? What are your hobbies? That's, there was a line in the show Numbers, and it's what's more valuable than money? Information. And Facebook knows how to do this really, really well. That information that all of the Facebook users are offering is what's being used to serve your content from your page to them. So when you're filling out your profile, fill it out smartly. Maybe you want to be an open book. Maybe you just want to focus in on horses. Be smart when you do that because that's what's going to fill your profile. So your profile is all about you, the person. Now, what that gives you entree to is to join groups. And groups are these small, they are small group communication, right? And they're based around people who share a common interest. They can be a public group, meaning anybody can join and chime in on it. It can be a closed group, which means there is a gatekeeper that allows you in, but anybody can read what's on your page. Or it can be a secret group. And a secret group means that only people who are invited into the group can read what's on the page. And the group can be anything. I mean, I'm part of a group that talks, you know, we talk to each other during hockey games on the group about the hockey game. CHA has a group where it's just CHA instructors chiming in the group. A group can be any, and then there's another group that I'm part of where it's just professional women in the Southern California area who are trading pain, essentially trading ideas, trading resources so that we can go to one place and have access to about 500 brains. And it can be anything from, you know, I'm looking for a photographer, a really good food photographer, to, gee, I really don't know how to handle this situation with my coworker. And it's just a safe place where you can talk. We've also used groups to plan getaway trips, where it's not appropriate to be posting it on the wall because people who aren't associated with the trip really don't care about it. But the 9 or 10 people who are going on the trip are interested in knowing more, and that's a great way to like track conversation. So that's what groups are for. And lastly is your page. The page is for your business. If you're a public figure, our friend Julie Goodnight has a public figure page for her because she is her brand. You know, Julie is her brand. And CHA has a page, and we ride herd on that page constantly. I will caution you about this. Whatever you post to your page is what people will do. So on the CHA page, when we're posting photographs, I am casting the most critical eye I can possibly cast on photographs. And what I'm looking for are safety violations. So if somebody is holding a lead rope wrong, we can't post that picture. We just can't. Because we know that if they see it on the CHA page, they're likely going to try it and justify it and say, I saw it on the CHA page. So if you have a rule at your barn that you do not allow people to ride horses in tank tops because you don't want them coming off and getting road rash on their shoulders, then never ever post a picture of somebody riding a horse in a tank top on your page. What they see you doing, they will do.
Well, that eliminates about half the audience.
I mean, it's just one of the things that you have to be super careful about.
Hey, I worked in retail for many, many years in marketing, and every picture we put on an email, every picture we posted had to be vetted. You know, I would think, I was looking at it going, well, it looks fine to me, but, you know, and then I'd bring it to the dressage rider who went, oh, that foot's in the wrong place. And, you know, and if it was a dressage post, you had to make sure that was right. So I totally get what you're saying.
Well, and how about this one? There was a picture that went out a couple of weeks ago, and it had the most beautiful sentiment underneath it. And if you looked at the picture, you're like, oh, my God. If you had a critical eye and you were looking at the picture, it's like, oh, my gosh, that rider is petting her horse while digging her right spur into the horse's side. And the horse is standing still, and she's trying to get it to calm down. So these are things you need to be, like, keenly aware of when you're looking at pictures.
Absolutely. And then, you know, a lot of times you can actually do something on Facebook where you go into Twitter and you tweet what you just put on Facebook. And I know there's a lot of controversy about whether or not that's a good idea and that Twitter should be used as a totally separate platform and not utilized the same way as Facebook. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so Facebook moves a little bit more slowly than Twitter. Twitter is real time. So the magic of Twitter is that, and I will go back to in the Middle East when I want to say it was Iraq first got the opportunity to vote. The government was trying to quash news reports from getting out. Twitter was how news reports were getting out because you could open a Twitter account faster than the government could shut it down. So it's moving in real time. And quite frankly, Twitter has become my new ticker. If I'm if I'm hiding someplace, if I'm someplace where I cannot get news, I look at Twitter and see what people are talking about. And then you have to go find the news reports to support it. So Twitter moves very quickly, but what that means to you is you can't do what you would do on Facebook necessarily timing-wise. So Facebook, you might post once a day, 5 days a week. But on Twitter, you have to post at least three times during a day to get in front of the eyeballs because you're going right by people. With Twitter, you could be following up to 10,000 people at any given moment. And so you are going to get lost in the feed if you're not there when they're looking.
So can you give us an example of something that someone should tweet? What is an example of what a writing program should tweet?
A link to your blog post. Use social media to amplify what's on your own pages. So social should be used. We use social as an amplifier. When CHA posts a blog post on its website, we amplify it by putting it on Facebook, on Twitter, on Google+, and in the hopes of capturing more eyeballs and directing them to our website.
So what should an equine program do, let's say, for something specific on YouTube, moving on to the next platform in the interest of time?
Okay, not a problem. Let's talk YouTube for a second. Okay, so YouTube is interesting. It would be helpful to have video shot, and you do not need a video crew. You can shoot with your smartphone if that's all you have. It would be helpful if you're demonstrating a technique. It would be very helpful if you want to show something that's moving, like a horse. So you've got a horse that is a prospect that you want people to look at. Shoot video of it. Shoot video of it and post it on YouTube and share away. And then lastly, video logging, so vlogging. If you are a terrible writer, but you're a good speaker, video yourself explaining, talking about the concept. Of course, that doesn't preclude you from writing a summary of it because search engines don't read your voice, they read words, they read text. So you'll need to summarize what you've logged. But even that, I've seen doctors just turn on the webcam on their computer and record themselves reading their script into the computer. But it gets hits because they want to let folks know this is what you need to know about this technique, this drug, what have you. And it, for horse programs, it could be, this is what I want you to know. This is new. This is why you vaccinate your horse, blah, 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 whatever that might be.
That's a really good idea. So how about a specific thing for LinkedIn for the equine professional?
Okay. So I don't know that many people are seeking writing instructors on LinkedIn. I don't know. I could be wrong. I could be really, really wrong.
They're only looking for the good-looking ones on LinkedIn.
Yeah, only the good-looking ones on LinkedIn.
That's right. Wait a minute. That's Pinterest. They're looking for the good-looking ones. That'd be Pinterest. Yes. I got it wrong.
LinkedIn is interesting because, back when dinosaurs were on the earth and I was looking for my first job, we were told to never, ever send our picture out with our resume. And what does LinkedIn have us do? Slam our picture up there. So much so that there are now people and events created to get your professional headshot done for social media. it's rather interesting to me that we've done a 180 in that. And I don't know how that works exactly, with all the laws and wherefores and what have you. But,
you know what LinkedIn is good for? When somebody doesn't want to be a writing instructor anymore, now their resume's up there and maybe they'll be headhunted and they can be something else.
That would be, you know, you're absolutely right. There might
sometimes
be a writing
instructor who doesn't want to come in. Like, I right now am looking outside at 8 inches of snow, and I would much rather be inside and not be a writing instructor today. So I'm very thankful for my day job when every now and then we have bad weather, right? And LinkedIn is a great place to throw that.
It's also a great place to stalk all those people you used to work with, but you don't necessarily want to make friends on Facebook.
True.
There you go. Yeah. Well, and it also allows you to separate professional and personal life, right? So the other thing on Facebook is some folks absolutely want to create a professional profile and a personal profile. And the chief reason behind that is they don't necessarily want pictures of their kids being seen by people they know professionally.
Right.
But they don't know their background, right?
Right.
LinkedIn is great for, you know, it's another platform to get your content out too. You can write notes, you can write stories, you can blog, and you can, you know, use it as another amplifier. But you're absolutely right. If you are thinking about transitioning from, say, straight writing instructor to maybe educator, you know, become an educator within an equestrian program at, say, a college or a university, that would be a great place for you to start. And, you know, many writing instructors do have other degrees.
They do other things. And you know what, Susie? We are plum out of time.
Yeah, we're out of time. Yep.
So if you would go ahead and give us your information where we can contact you to find out more, we are going to have to wrap up.
Okay. So there is quite a bit more, and I have quite a few links to share with you all. So you can, if you're interested, drop me an email at suzycomm@gmail.com, and that would be suzycomm@gmail.com. I have an About Me page, and that would be about.me/Suzy Carraher.
And we were going to have all of this up on our website and also on the Horses in the Morning website with links to it, because Jen's really good about putting all this up for us. So they'll be able to find you, Susie. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Not a problem. There's a whole bunch more we can talk about at a later time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
I always thought that there still should be a social media conference, a marketing conference for just horse people. Because, you know, I was at an ad agency yesterday, asked me to stop by, and we were discussing the fact that how different horse people are to market to than I'll use the term regular people, non-horse people, and it is true. And people, marketing people who come into this industry and think it's the same, get a rude awakening when they discover
it. Yes, they do.
Yeah. And
numerous times.
Yeah, uh-huh. you've seen them, and they come in from outside and think that the horse people are like everybody else, and they can do the same kind of marketing that they've done with everybody else, and it's not true.
No.
And only horse people really understand what horse people look for. So that's why it's so important. If you're going to hire a company, you know, you need to hire a Susie or a Jordan who understands horse people. So many times they hire outside companies and it's like they don't got a clue. And they're posting things that none of us are interested in.
And that will very quickly not work and will turn the other way.
And there was a question right before we go. I know we're running a little bit over here, but what the heck? We couldn't get our live feed working half the morning anyway. Jennifer asked the question, what don't we talk about? You remember we talked about that early in the show? What horse topics are polarizing?
Yes.
And she got a whole bunch of answers here. And if you want to read them all, just head over to our Horses in the Morning page and scroll down a little bit. But I would say the consensus here is blanketing seems to be the number one topic at this person's barns. Horse slaughter, of course, that is always a big one. Bitless, bridleless, helmets. Helmets are always a big one. Less and less so, I think, now. Blanketing, helmets, a big lick. So, you know, feeding roll cur. There's another one. So, yeah, these, I think they came up with a whole bunch that are definitely we're a very polarized group, us horse people, apparently.
It's fun. We just enjoy different opinions and sharing ours. That's why, you know, the marketing ladies, we ran over today.
That's true. Well, thank you so much, Christy, for putting this together. We're going to remind everybody that we're going to see you in 2 weeks. We're going to see you on Monday, November the 30th. You'll be here at the 11 a.m. hour Eastern time. And we want the Certified Horsemanship Association people to call in and tell us about your favorite Christmas holiday memories involving horses. That's the theme of the day, is your favorite horsey holidays. We want to hear about those. It's basically just a Christmas party. I have issued an executive order from my president's desk that says everybody is allowed to start eggnogs at 9 a.m.
Woohoo!
So you're good to go at 9 a.m. And we just want to share the holidays with you. We're going to play music. We're going to have horse rescues coming on during the day with their Christmas horses that are available for rescue. So there's just going to be all kinds of things going on. We have some celebrities joining us. Julie Goodnight, be fun to hear about her holidays. And we want you to call in. We're going to take as many callers as we can to get everybody qualified for the over $3,000 in prizes we're giving away as well. So, Christy, hang on after the show today. I need to just chat with you real quick about that. So that's it for today. Where can everybody find the Certified Horsemanship Association?
The best place is our website, chainstructorswithans.com.
chainstructors.com. And of course, you can find all the past episodes of the Certified Horsemanship Show episode here on Horses in the Morning. Just go to Horses in the Morning and search for Certified Horsemanship. All of them will pop up. You can go back and listen to them. The easiest way to listen to our shows is our app. Just go to the App Store, iOS or Android, and search for Horse Radio Network. That's the best way to listen to the recorded versions of the shows. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it, and we apologize for the live feed today. Hopefully the company that we use will get that fixed. And we're really hoping they get that fixed before Radiothon Day, because that would be very bad. So we'll look forward to chatting with you again tomorrow morning. Jamie will be back. And tomorrow, Jennifer happened to arrange the George Morris will be here tomorrow. And Jamie is a little nervous about doing an interview with George. So
ooh, I don't blame her.
That's tomorrow morning on the show. You don't want to miss that one. Thanks, Christy.
Bye-bye.